definition of pressure piping could be expanded into other systems. By the wording of it. And that's the wording out of the scope of the code, but it's out of the introduction of the individual codes, but in the scope where it becomes specific on the requirement.
The board under section 9 could expand that definition under the way House Bill 2089 is written.
They could expand it.
Yeah. What I'm trying to get at is an expert opinion of whether we need to be concerned about that at health and safety. You've said that we haven't adopted all of it. We have some of it. No.
Well, the reason that this whole pressure piping issue first surfaced was back in 1981 when the Board of Boiler Rules was reviewing the rules and I was reviewing the code book, and there was a misquotation in the code which threw low pressure piping into the power boiler book, mm-hmm. which there was no requirements for. And we seeked a clarification from the ASME, and they told us that in a formal interpretation that they were going to adopt or formulate a piping requirement for low pressure hot water heating and steam piping. And the board by action adopted a temporary rule to cover that, and ASME and their time schedule didn't make it before our rule expired, and now that we have the document.
You mean the broadening of the rules for a pressure pipe was an accident?
No.
Okay.
The broadening of the pressure piping term.
Okay.
The pressure piping term should have been regulated only to low pressure boilers and pressure vessels.
Mm-hmm.
For steam and hot water service, like it's an apartment house where they use those type of systems. And that's what it was trying to be regulated to. But when the definition of pressure piping came up, it was taken out of the scope. Instead of being taken out of the scope in B31.9, it was taken out of the introduction, which incorporated all piping codes. That's the reason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative.
You mentioned the makeup of the board. Are you opposed to having a boilermaker and a steam fitter on the board?
No, sir.
Any further questions?
About an electrician.
We'll pass.
If there are no further questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this point, I'm going to adjourn this committee at 4:00. And I've already talked to George Burney, Gary Bauer, and Tom Donica, and I told them that I know we're not going to get to them by 4:00, so we'll hear this bill at 2:30, rehear it at 2:30 on Thursday, because we haven't even got through the first echelon. Plus, if any of those interested in this bill want copies of the proposed amendments by the various people coming up, please contact the committee administrator so that you can be aware of what we're sending to the legislative council. Anybody that isn't going to appear today, George or Tom or any of you folks that have any amendments, please hand them in today so that we can send the whole group through the legislative council. Thank you. Okay, Dan Smith.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'm Dan Smith, Deputy Administrator, Building Codes Division. I don't have a lot to say this today. I am representing Warren J. Hurl, Administrator of the Building Codes Division, and would like to speak somewhat to the cohesiveness between the department and the Board of Board and its past history. The history of this board, working with the department, I would be able to say, I suppose, that it has one that has almost a flawless record and has been able to operate very well. I would also like to state that this is a highly sophisticated industry, and this board has, I suppose, given a credence to the fact that an industry that regulates itself is probably far superior to an industry that is regulated by those who are not professional in that industry. And I think this is reflects on the members of the board and the way that they have operated in the past. And I think the safety record in the state of Oregon speaks for this board. I believe that the testimony that you've heard and probably will hear as far as the functions, the codes and these types of things would probably be best left to those who, such as our chief inspector. We did want to speak to the operation of the present board and how we felt about it, that we are quite pleased and it has been a very smooth operation.
Are there any questions to Dan?
No.
Representative Schoon.
What about the statement, though, that the board really doesn't know necessarily a great deal about some of the more practical applications or requirements that our member from legislative research made? Did you hear that comment that the board?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman.
Wasn't entirely qualified.
Representative Schoon. My association with the members of this board is quite limited. However, even in that limited time listening to them, the experience that's on that board, I believe, almost speaks for itself. It's covers a broad section of this industry, and I believe to regulate the manufacture, the repair, whatever in this particular industry, as many of our boards do, I think that they have demonstrated that expertise. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to additional members on that board that has been presented. I'm just speaking that this particular one has seemed to be able to address all the problems with a great deal of expertise.
Well, if there aren't any problems, I guess the addition of any members wouldn't really solve those problems, but do you think that the additions would enhance the board?
I suppose the way I would answer that, I don't think it would deter from the board's expertise.
Okay. Good answer. I guess I'll have to take that.
Are there any further questions? Are there any further questions, Mr. Smith? I'd like to ask one, Dan. We received the overview just a while back. It was expressed that we could actually sunset the Board of Builder Rules Committee, and we would still have some safety controls. Do you agree with that?
Would not have.
What?
Would not have.
No, we still have the with the welders and with and the idea of the insurance company's own inspectors. We're dealing with. Because I look at some overlap in here, and what I'm trying to find out is, you know, how far we're supposed to go with the government agency.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand that if this was sunsetted, the only control would not be by the state of Oregon. It would be by federal control, which would be
and
under
private industry.
And the industry. But we, as the state, would lose the control and inspection of that of those codes.
Yeah, I was just curious because it was thrown out as a possible of the various things that were.
Yes, we would no longer be involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Representative Kennedy, isn't that what you understood when?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding was that they have tied the safety portion in with the board, so when we sunset the whole damn thing.
You're correct.
And not just part of, like most boards and commissions, we sunset the board and commission, but the safety codes are still remaining. But in this case, when we sunset the safety codes as well.
I understand that, but I meant that there would still be some safety factor out there through private enterprise and some of the others. So
that wouldn't get Representative Gilmore's.
Now, I think I caught something from Representative Otto. Now I'm sneezing and got my handkerchief out. Are there any further questions? Thank you very much, Dan. Greg DeBlock?
My name is Greg DeBlock. I'm here to
speak in support of 2089. I speak as a member of the Board of Boiler Rules, and as a steam fitter by profession, and as a representative of the Oregon State Pipe Trades Council, composed of steam fitters and plumbers. You're having a handout right now with regards to my testimony, and I'll just briefly go through it in the interest of time. I believe the interim committee has done an excellent job and has prepared an excellent vehicle to continue the good safety standards for both the boilers and those who maintain, alter, and inspect them. I think the proposed changes that you have in front of you in the House Bill 2089 is written are good ones, and I'm quite satisfied with the compromising results. House Bill 2089 retains an important licensing function of the Board of Boiler Rules. As stated before the Joint Interim Committee over a year ago, this licensing ability is critical to maintain the safety standards over boilers. Experience and training are critical to safe installation, maintenance on such potentially dangerous pieces of equipment. An important set of changes, which we view as very positive, deals with the makeup, authority, and the appointment of the board. These changes are found primarily in Section 7 of the bill. The interim committee designated one public member to serve on the board, as well as one boilermaker and one steam fitter. Recognizing the highly technical nature of these issues, the remaining four members must be qualified in the technical areas related to boilers. The new composition guarantees participation by the public with input by consumers, as well as involvement by those who know the issues best and work with the regulations on a daily basis. Another major change alters the board's relationship to the Department of Commerce. This bill proposes that the governor, rather than the Department of Commerce, appoint new board members. Gubernatorial appointments are also subject to public hearings by the Senate and Senate approval, which we think assures more participation in the democratic process. The board, under House Bill 2089, will become more evident of the Department of Commerce, independent of the Department of Commerce. Another change which we feel is very positive. The director of the Department of Commerce currently has veto power over board decisions. However, the veto authority is used so infrequently that the current requirement for the director's review is nothing more than superfluous requirement for additional red tape. 2089 transfers the fees setting process to rulemaking by the board rather than placing the fees in the statutes. To ensure an adequate safety program, we recognize the board's need to have adequate resources. We feel that rulemaking to establish the fee schedule is the best way to guarantee that fees respond both to the needs of the board and the changes in the economy. New sections 24 through 28 spell out specific requirements for certification, examination, and penalty procedures, which we feel are important additions to guarantee public safety. Finally, the Pipe Trades Council has been working with other groups and individuals to discuss possible modifications of this legislation. We can support some of the amendments offered to you today or during the course of this hearing, and will continue to work with this committee and other concerned parties. We encourage this committee not to move too far from the policy decisions made by the interim committee that embrace by House Bill 2089. That's basically my, the gist of what my comments are to the committee today, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Did I even mispronounce your last name?
Deblock.
Deblock, and it's Deblock?
Some, it happens quite often, but it's Deblock.
Greg, you're here on your own behalf?
I'm here on behalf of the Oregon State Pipe Trades Association and the, and as a member of the Board of Boiler Rules also.
Okay, but you're not attempting to speak for all the members on the Board of Boiler Rules?
No.
Okay, that's why I wanted to clarify. Are there any questions to this gentleman? Representative Campbell, I'll start down this end and come around.
Greg, you understand that the purpose for this board is for the public welfare?
Yes.
And the testimony that we received to this point talks in terms of the excellent safety record that Oregon has under the present structure, which has been in effect since, as I understand the testimony, since 1973?
That has supported that, yes.
Then can you share with me your reasons for wanting to change that process?
As far as the makeup of the board?
Well, basically, I guess the question I have is we've got four or five different groups coming in with all kinds of amendments to this thing. We've got a vehicle that seemingly has run well. It has people with technical expertise from the crafts, such as yourself, and a steam fitter. The safety record is excellent. The public welfare is being well served. Why is it that everybody that's coming before us has their own set of amendments on changing the vehicle that's run so well?
Well, not being able to speak for the other people who are bringing you these things.
We'll catch them one at a time.
I would address that only by saying that there are hazards in the industry as we know them today.
That's the reason we regulate it.
We have one of the things that brought this to our attention as a pipe trades is, number one, the policies of the Department of Commerce, and with no, let me say, enforcement written into the bill, such as civil penalties or so on, leave the board quite inadequate when it comes to the terms of policing its work. For instance, in past testimony, I've given the example of in 1979, we had a school with a steam pipe running underground, and a little child fell in it in a school ground and burned her leg quite severely, and there was a big to-do about it. Matter of fact, it was right outside of Eugene here. We couldn't really put our hands on a thing like that. We don't know who installed that pipe. We don't know why it was there. And the board technically does work pretty good as it's made up today. I would only address to you that in the language of 2089, in the proposed language, it proposes that the governor appoint an additional four members who are technically qualified in the area.
Mr. Chairman, if I might follow up on that, then I guess my question is, how would the change in the appointment of the board take care of the civil penalties you're talking about? And also, how would the change in the board have corrected the situation that you identify as the where the little girl was burned?
To, number one, would ensure, I don't know how the change in the board would do it. I, first of all, the makeup of the board hasn't really dramatically changed because of the language that is there. And your second part of your question, or the first part, I can't remember, which was the...
Civil penalties.
The civil penalties, how that addresses it. If you could find somebody who was responsible, then you would certainly have a means and way to act.
But you could have done that if you had had civil penalties with the present board makeup.
But we didn't, if the board at that time had the option.
Mr. Chairman, another question.
Representative Campbell.
Does this bill, as you understand it, have civil penalties made available to the board now?
Yes.
That's an addition?
Yes.
And that's an addition you support?
Yes, definitely. Wholeheartedly. So does the majority of the Board of Boiler Rules. Not only the pipe trades, but the Board of Boiler Rules.
Representative Kevin.
The safety record, do you attest the fact that the testimony that was given to us is accurate?
To my knowledge, it was accurate.
That's all the questions I have, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stern.
First of all, are all steam fitters and boiler makers union members? I've heard the two new members referred to as union members, and then I've heard them referred to as steam fitters or boiler makers.
That's not the intent. There are steam fitters as well as plumbers and boiler makers and electricians who are all, many of them are non-union. The bill does not attempt to address union affiliation.
Okay. Another question. I don't quite understand why you would be particularly interested in the board setting the fees rather than having them established by the legislature. I don't understand the
problem. Let me explain my position on that, and maybe it'll help clarify a few things. As a board member, and this again is action of the board, we feel in the pipe trades field that the board is self-sustaining. There are no general funds into the board. The board has reason to police itself through the legislative process and with the approval of the executive department, as if this were adopted this way. The theory of a maximum not to exceed is a position I think that the board feels handcuffed with regard to not being adequately able to fund. An example, if I was to hire a man technically qualified to inspect boilers or pressure vessels or piping or what have you, I would want a very qualified individual to do that. Possibly the cost to the department might make few dollars difference either way, or maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a year in wages, just in wages alone. I think generally the board feels that, and as does the Oregon State Pipe Trades Association, feels that you should be expertly competent in what you're doing, and the board should be adequately funded to accomplish those goals. Since it is a technical board, very technical, and you've got to have more knowledge than the, I'd say, the average bear out there that's doing the work.
Okay, to show you my ignorance.
Don't do that, John.
Oh, I have to, or else I just sit here and continue to be ignorant. Now, are you saying that the board itself hires and funds the inspectors, or are those hired and paid through the general fund?
They are not. They're dedicated funds. We propose that they're dedicated, and currently the board and the Board of Boiler Rules and their inspectors are funded exclusively through the fees and permit fees and so on.
Okay, I'm talking about the inspectors, the examiners. That's who I thought you were talking about. Is this should be expert. Now, are they paid from the fees, the inspection fees? They are.
Yes.
And there's no general fund money going into that?
No. Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Thanks.
I
understand.
Refer that to the chief boiler inspector, but I'm sure his answer would be the same as mine.
Are there any questions to the right here? Representative Campbell.
One more. Has anybody talked to the governor about your recommendation that the appointing power be changed from the Department of Commerce to the governor?
Yes.
What did the governor say?
He said he had no problem.
Well, that's sure a different message than he sent us last session.
Are you through, Representative Campbell?
Yes, I am, but I trust what you say, but if you don't mind, I'll just recheck that because I got burned last session.
Be sure that I'm there when you do that.
You get right into
Mr. Chairman,
yes, I get right into
it. I don't have a question. I comment for Representative Campbell. I wish that he would check with the governor when he goes to find out about this other matter on what his policy is for fees, because we are seeing all kinds of crazy things with fees, and we're creating a Mandarin society that regulates itself, and pretty soon we won't have anything but a bureaucracy.
Representative Shiprock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greg, I wanted to touch upon the inspectors. When your people are constructing a boiler, will you see the inspector? Will he be around at that point in time?
Yes, during the erection of a power boiler, he is around and regularly checks the qualifications and the inspection process as described by the rules.
Will he inspect also the high-pressure pipes?
Yes, during installation. Yeah.
During installation.
Yeah.
I guess the real bottom-line question I have, I've read this whole bill, and I've not seen one reference to checking to see if the people have the licenses. Does he ever check licenses?
Yes, he has. As a matter of fact, the board, we'll take the Boardman project, for instance, which is a coal-fired facility over in eastern Oregon. There was quite a to-do, let me say that, regarding the pipe fitters and boiler makers that were constructing that project at that time. And the chief boiler inspector and the board backed him 100%, and he went out there and required the licenses to be the members who were working there to have the required license for what they were doing. And it became a slight headache for those people to do that. At that time it was PGE, but they complied. The workmen on the project complied, and it ended up to be an overall success. It might take a little bit of time to do it, but it did. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be successful.
There was some inferences made in the earlier report that the license is kind of, how should I say, it's not really a very good test. Could you talk on that? How are you comfortable with the test?
Now I am. You bet. The board, staff review, since Sunset Staff, the board took it upon themselves to form a subcommittee, and since that time, the test has been strengthened, and we make special inference in the House Bill 2089 to having a qualified examination, and the board really takes a pretty serious view of their work right at the present time, and the since I've been on the board, I am able to report that they're pretty good in what they do.
I was just quite a statement that was made, and I was wondering about that. Glad to see you maybe cleaned
up. Well, it has cleaned up, and through these measures, even before staff report was out, the board had taken a position on how to move towards sunset. And part of it was to go through each item in the rules, and if we found conflicting rules and paperwork changes and so on and so forth, to correct those. We have finished going through the rules, and subject to any change that comes out of this legislature this time, I think we'll do the same thing again on a biannual basis to keep ourselves up to date on it.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? No further questions, and thank you very much. We don't really have time left to justify the three people who want to give testimony and give them justice. If there's no further...
Can't justify them.
No comment. There's no further business to come for this committee. I'm going to adjourn the committee. Thank you.